I am a good person, and sometimes good people don't get no respect. Rodney Dangerfield.
Hey, I don't get no respect. No respect at all. When I was in the sandbox as a kid, I got no respect. Ah, you know what don't get no respect? Airplane food. Why don't they just make the plane out of the airline food? My wife don't get no respect. Take her, please, for example. If you don't get no respect, you might be a redneck.
Respect is nice.
What's the deal with grape nuts? No grapes, no nuts. I don't get no respect.
TBTL.
This is the 4 o'clock to Negative Town. All aboard!
Listen up, ladies. I get it. It is very hard not to get seduced by these two. And yeah, I'm gonna say it. These two, super good looking, super hot guys.
My mom told me if I wait for things, like, good things will happen to me, dude. And I waited for some things and I got some banana bread at work today, dude. Hell yeah.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
All right, hello. Good morning and welcome, everyone, to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
It's time for Operation Crazy Plan.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host, coming to you from high in the sky over Portland, Oregon.
Oh, and the adventure begins again.
Speaking of adventures, this is the first episode of the show that we are recording with me using a new audio board, a new mixing board. And it was an adventure yesterday going to Guitar Center.
It was literally a major disaster.
They recently declared bankruptcy, and boy, could you tell when you went into the place. But anyway, the show is probably hitting your various podcatchers a little late today. It's because there were some technical challenges getting this thing up and running, but we think that it is all sort of straightened out and figured out thanks to some help from our friend Eric the Viking Stromstad. And we're ready to go with episode 3307 in a collector's series.
Let the fun begin.
I also called this episode 3307 in a collector's series yesterday, which was incorrect. I apologize on behalf of myself, the show, and my family. I'm going to spend some time in quiet reflection, remembering how counting works, and try to not mess up the show number again for a little while. I am excited, though, about today's program because we are going to chat with friend of the show, Mike Pesca, and fiance of the Pesca, Michelle Hunter. They were engaged recently in New York City. It involved a performance art piece from a rat. There was a magnet involved. It was just a beautiful thing.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
So we'll talk to Mike and Michelle coming up. Also, the TBTL listeners have just been absolutely glued to their phones or whatever devices you listen to this thing on over the story of Andrew and Genevieve's Turkey Day Flim Flam. That was perpetrated against them when they had pre-ordered a Thanksgiving meal, went to pick it up. There was no food. They were told it will be delivered to you on Thanksgiving Day. It never showed up. Instead, they had Thai food. And now there are some rumblings journalistically in Seattle that there may be at least some holding to account the people who pulled a turkey hustle on Andrew and Genevieve.
Spiced turkey meatball pitas.
So we'll get the latest on that as well. Plus, it's a Thursday, a.k.a. a Blurs Day.
It's my birthday today.
So we'll do some Blurs Days. And we'll do all of that with this guy. He is, well, he's a spicy turkey meatball if ever I've met one. He's also the longest running Cobro of the show. Known for his drawings of tall ships, he is Andrew.
Fireball.
Welsh, and he's joining me right now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Luke. So you survived the Guitar Center?
It was quite something. This is going to sound like I'm making it up, but The first indication I had that something was going on with this Guitar Center was I walked in, and one of the employees, who looked extremely harried, was trying to explain into the phone what the company Bain Capital is.
Okay.
Which is apparently the company that had acquired Guitar Center.
Right. Okay. Right.
Like, that's the first thing. Usually you walk into that place and they're like playing Santana and there's somebody in the back, you know, somebody's trying out a keyboard somewhere. Uh-huh. And just like, you know, all these sort of like, it's like the island of misfit musicians.
Uh-huh. There's somebody on the drums back there who's not interested in buying the drums, but is very interested in playing the drums and impressing
just getting their
the
best
store
Neil
clerk.
Peart impression going or whatever. Yeah, that's usually the scene. This was me walking into seeing a stressed out employee who's trying to explain what Bain Capital is to somebody who had called the Guitar Center at the Jansen Beach location in Portland to, I guess, find out if they were still there. And the conversation had spun out into venture capital and the like. I was like, that's a weird conversation to overhear. Okay, fine. Then,
did he say at any point, I was born into bankruptcy? Sorry.
I was able to stifle the impulse to make that joke. You, my friend, weren't, and that's
you at least do a decent Bane impression.
That's not true. I actually thought that was a pretty
terrible. It's so bad.
I thought that was a pretty good Bane.
Well, thanks, but you know what? On behalf of the listeners, don't tell me that. Like, don't encourage that behavior for real. That was awful.
Well, so I needed to get a new audio mixing board for the studio down here in Portland. And so I walk over to where they sell those kinds of things, and I find one that seems there's nobody, by the way, able to help me in the store. Every Guitar Center employee is occupied in some kind of weird shenanigan when I walk in. There's the Bain Capital guy. Uh-huh. There's the other guy who is – I overhear him saying to another employee that he's worried the manager is going to be mad at him for being late. And then, like clockwork, the manager strolls into the scene and says something about him being late. And the employee who had been late then throws the other employee under the bus, talking about how this guy also comes in late sometimes.
What? That's
the manager
no good.
Says.
I would
the manager
never do
says,
that to
let's,
you.
Let's not. I wouldn't know because I'm never on any of our work calls. You might be. You could be. Really, like, you could be little fingering me. Ooh, let's back the tape up. What you're listening to is a bad joke.
No,
now, you could be plotting against me, and I wouldn't know it because and that's on me, by the way. In fact, I deserve it. I deserve for you to be usurping me at APM left and right. But anyway, the guy is kind of weirdly confrontational with his manager when the manager brings up his late arrival. The manager then says, let's not talk about this on the floor. Let's go to the office, which I have to say, management 101, let's not have a knockdown, drag-out argument in the middle of the Guitar Center. The guy who has been sort of throwing his colleague under the bus about late arrivals looks at him. The manager says, and also don't blame other people for you being late. And he goes, I'm not blaming him. I'm scapegoating him. Which has been living in my head
last
24 hours. I can't stop thinking about that line.
Yeah, because what does that person think those two things mean? I would love to, like, more than anything, more than hearing about Pesca's rat-infested wedding proposal, I want to know what this person thinks the difference between those two words are, because he has an answer.
Yeah. Maybe he thinks when you're scapegoating someone, you're blaming them, but you're blaming them for a legitimate reason.
Right.
So they then disappear. The three of them go into the office, never to be seen again. Although I did take a sly photograph of them as I walked out, Andrew.
Uh-huh.
Just because, which is probably not even legal. Like, we shouldn't make it the show pick. No. But I wanted to document everything that was going on. And it's actually, I'm looking at the picture now. It's a terribly uninformative picture. There's a lot of glare, so that's good. I'm not going to be tempted to try to put that on Twitter or something. But anyway, those three disappear. I go over to the area where the mixing boards are. I find a mixing board that's going to work. I go back. I can't get any help because the one guy is still explaining what the financial situation with Guitar Center is to somebody on the phone. And I'm thinking to myself, there's a point at which you have to just tell the person on the phone, I'm not able to explain Chapter 7 bankruptcy to you point by point. One, because I work at Guitar Center, and as I wrote on Twitter, I look like I'm in the band Blind Melon. Mm. Every single person that works there is a rocker dude.
And he's probably talking to a 14-year-old kid who just wants a Fender Stratocaster.
And is also very interested in what is going on with the financial situation. I mean, that was the nature of the conversation, was trying to allay someone's fears about Wither Guitar Center.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my problem is I'm impatient, and I wanted to just find out, where do I go to get this mixer? Because I see one sitting there, but there's no box on the shelf where you buy the mixer that's in the box, you know, with all the stuff.
Yeah.
So, unrelated but related, there is a very tall man in Crocs who is standing at the register. I can't tell if he's interacting with the guy who's on the phone explaining Bain Capital is also kind of helping this guy. It's very confusing, but the tall guy in Crocs has probably a 130-pound Doberman Pinscher with him that's just lying on the carpet in the Guitar Center.
Wow. Surprised
and thank God this dog looked sweet, because if this dog were to turn on the people in there, I mean, this was a devil dog. This was a Hound of Baskerville that could have really messed the place up, but he just seemed like a sweetie. The dog was like literally just lying on the rug, passed out. Aww. But he was the largest Doberman Pinscher I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
So let's just add that to the mix of weirdness. The tall guy with the Doberman Pinscher realizes that I've now been standing for probably 5 minutes waiting for somebody to let me know where the mixing board is. And he very nicely says, I think that guy with the long hair at that other counter is free. And I said, thank you so much. Can you be more specific, which guy with the long hair?
You know, the
one in the Metallica
like
t-shirt. Yeah, okay. Wait, which one? Master of Puppets or Enter Sandman? Right. So I go over. I get this guy. He's actually very nice, very thorough. I would soon learn just how thorough. And he takes me over to the mixing boards. And I said, okay, I want this one, but is there another one? That's new. And he goes, let me go find out. Calls the warehouse. No, we don't have any more of those. I was like, well, can I buy this one? He says, I find out. We can't sell some of the floor models. We can't sell. So he says, finds out I can sell it to you. Okay, great. I go, do you have a box I could put it in? He goes, let me see. He calls the warehouse again. He's like, we have no boxes. We have no cardboard boxes that we can put this in. I go, do you have a bag of some kind? He disappears. He comes back with a large bag that says Zildjian on it. It's for if you buy a Zildjian drum cymbal.
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it's actually kind of dope.
Let me ask you this. Did you get any kind of a discount because it was the floor model?
I asked about that. They were extending their Black Friday sales, Andrew, and so everything was 15% off, and that was more than I would have gotten as a discount for being the floor model.
Okay.
Still, but it was inquired about. Also, there was no power cord for the mixer. He went off and harvested one from some other device that uses the same standard plug-in.
Yeah, those are very standard, by the way. Yes. The plugs for the back of one of these boards is the same that you would have for like the back of a desktop computer. Not a laptop,
right,
of course. But
so
like,
he goes off and purloins one of those, throws that, the mixer, and a couple of other random cables that I've purchased, Andrew, into the Zildjian bag.
We're just going to gloss over the cables. You're not going to tell me what you got.
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay,
we'll get there.
Just don't fast forward through that part. Slow it down.
Yeah. Do we have any sexy music we can play? Well, so one thing I grabbed was a half inch to a mini to go out of the mixing board and into this thing called the Mixpre that you and I record ourselves on.
A quarter inch, and, though, not a half inch, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
I've never seen a half inch plug. That'd be amazing.
So quarter inch to mini. I always forget if what the size of the mini is. The size of the mini is a mini.
Mm-hmm.
Size whatever measurement that is.
Yeah, I think that's
so
an
quarter
inch
to mini.
Yeah, quarter inch to eighth inch or quarter inch to mini, I believe.
Okay, so I bought one of those. But as I'm walking out of, and then I had another one that was an XL. It was a quarter inch to XLR.
That's
okay,
a nice
Andrew?
Cable. That's sweet.
It is. It's a good cable. Well, because the one I have is kind of janky. It's 2 quarter inches to XLR, and I only plug one of them in, and I don't like that.
Mm-mm.
I don't like having a vestigial, like, other cable hanging off of there. So I wanted to get one that was a little cleaner. I grabbed one from the rack. It was going to be $12. I was like, you know what? Setting up a new studio, I want it to be nice. I'm going to just spend the money. As I'm walking out, though, they have like a amp, or I don't even know what it was, like some kind of a giant box that you would maybe like move your audio gear if you were a roadie in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just full of clearance cables, Andrew.
Oh, wow.
Presumably perfectly functional cables that aren't in their packaging that are all marked down.
And you
now,
jumped
is that not just a
like
little
Scrooge
slice
McDuck.
Of heaven?
Yes.
I was so stoked. I was pawing through that thing. And as I get down to, I find one, it was a cable, one of the cables I was buying, there was a clearance version. It was $4 cheaper.
Nice.
It looked in brand new condition. I was like, this is, everything's coming up Milhouse.
That's great.
So, well, you'd think. No. Problem is, it needed a manager override because of it being clearance. So my guy who's trying to ring me up keeps paging the manager. The manager is in the office arguing with the Scapegoaters. By the way, not a terrible name for a band.
Not at all. Not at all.
Terry and the Scapegoaters. So we can't. And so now it's easily been an added 15 minutes to the wait because he can't get a manager to come back out and override this cable, which was saving me $4. And I finally just said, Isaac, is this cable the holdup? And he goes, yes. I go, I'll just wait on that then. I'll just keep using the janky one I have at home. He goes, okay. He says, can I offer you the extended warranty package on this mixer? And I said, no, thank you. And he goes, sir, I need to describe the entirety of the warranty for you. It's my job.
Oh, my God. Did you say
they're
you guys
going
are going
out of business?
Yes.
can I offer you the 15-year plan?
Right.
Okay, so when I come back, and this is just a bombed-out husk of a Guitar Center, in North, well, not North Portland, but whatever, wherever we are. That was the other thing. For a moment, I thought I was in Washington State because I had almost gone across the Columbia River, and that's a difference of sales tax.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, wait, are we in Washington? And he was like, no, we're in Oregon. Don't worry. He forced me to listen to the entire spiel for the extended service.
Though. Because you hadn't, your card hadn't cleared yet, so you...
Yeah. Well, no, because I was standing there trying to pay, but yeah. He was very stern.
He wouldn't ring you
honestly,
up.
He caught me off guard. Yeah. He caught me slipping. When he said, sir, I need to finish this, it's my job, I was like, okay. And then he finishes, and then I go, am I allowed to decline it now? And
did he laugh?
The guy with the dog laughs.
By the way, tell me about Crocs, guy. Is he wearing shorts and socks and Crocs, long
jeans?
Pants? Jeans, socks,
tie-dyed Crocs, okay. Shaved head, mask.
Okay, good.
Seemed very nice. Seemed like he was in a situation with them, too. Like, he was bringing back some kind of a, not a digital mixer, but some kind of a piece of audio or recording gear that, I don't know what was going on, but there was just, he was there for a long time. He was dug in at that Guitar Center to try to, you know, figure out what was going on. That's the scene. If you're interested in going to the Portland Guitar Center, by the way, that's what you can, something along those. And I will expect to have another report for you tomorrow, Andrew, because I have to go back because one of the things I got is not the right thing.
What did you get that was wrong?
The adapter that allows me to plug headphones into this mixing board. It's the wrong one.
Yeah.
So right now I'm talking to you. I'm only able to hear you because I have jammed my Apple, like whatever, regular corded AirPods or EarPods into this converter that's only halfway pushed into the headphone jack so that the number of rings is matching up, which is maybe the most specifically audiophile thing that we've ever said on this show.
Yeah, it's all giving me anxiety, though. I don't like the fact that you have this vestigial cable just flapping out there. I don't like the fact that you've done the majority of the past 1,000 shows like that, and I didn't even realize it. I don't like your headphone situation. When all is said and done, will you have studio-quality headphones again, or are you still trying to make the earbuds work with a better adapter?
No, I don't like these.
Okay, good.
I don't like it. They're not... I can hear too much other noise in the room of my voice. It feels, I don't know, it's unsettling. So I am going to, when we're done here, I'm going to get back in my Mazda CX-5 and I'm just hoping, I think this is probably a unlikely thing, But I'm hoping that they have not figured out that I was tweeting this entire story out yesterday.
Oh, yeah, because you have to walk
It's not
back
like
in.
It didn't go viral, but it did get, you know, a certain level of engagement that it would be kind of funny if I walked back in today to return this one part and they were like, are you the guy that was tweeting our business out onto the internet yesterday?
You didn't tag them or anything. I think that's highly, highly unlikely that you and these folks are in the same Twitter circles.
I also said, I ended the thread by saying, I fucking love this place.
Yeah.
Because I do. I don't really even play an instrument, but I would put a Guitar Center in the top five of stores that I love to just wander around in for all of the quirks. I just love those places.
Yeah, I mean, a Guitar Center opened almost directly across the street from me not all that long ago. Like, what, is it a block down from me, maybe? And that opened, I don't know if it's been open a year yet, or maybe just about a year now. I will say that I noticed that the big red Guitar Center sign, which I think is in the shape, am I remembering this right? Is it kind of in the shape of a guitar pick?
Yeah.
And it says Guitar Center across it. It's been flickering. That sign has been kind of flickering on and off for the past week, I'm going to say. And did you say they just declared bankruptcy this week?
This week or last? It was very recent. I'm hoping it's one of those weird... God, if only someone could explain Bain Capital to me, I think I'd understand more about this. But it's one of those weird bank... I'm hoping it's one of those bankruptcies where the stores still exist and you kind of just keep going there. Like, it's restructuring in a way that they're probably wriggling out from some bad leases or debts or things.
Now, last thing on this topic, because I know I keep on trying to get you to be more and more specific about this audio stuff, because number one, I am legit interested, but number two, I do think it's funny to make you get more and more detail on cables. But in all seriousness, a big part of this audio board purchase, I know, because you mentioned this on the show the other day, is the ability to mute yourself with the quick click of a button. I did that a moment ago. I couldn't tell. I don't know if you could tell as I was wrapping up my little observation about the Guitar Center sign. I had to sneeze really bad, which is why I started talking really fast there. And then I tossed it to you, and I muted myself, and I just sneezed, and then I blew my nose. That all just happened in about the past 20 seconds. And I think I am lucky that I have that mute button.
Yeah.
Now, is your mute button in working order? Do you want to give it a go right now on the show with me and the listeners?
Yes, I'm excited
to
try this out. Okay, I'm going to hit mute. Tell me if you can hear this. I'm so sick of Andrew's bullshit.
No, did you say anything?
And we're back
we didn't
on.
Hear it. No, didn't hear anything.
Oh, nice.
Doesn't look like anything to me. Good. Fantastic.
Wow,
that was a close one. Yeah, no, it sounded clean, Luke.
How about?
Didn't hear anything.
This is good. Yes. Andrew, we have mute capabilities.
Nice.
That is... I'm not even kidding. Like, people have real jobs that have real challenges. We have people that are... first responders and working in hospitals, and I bet you that they have bigger problems than whether they can mute their microphone or not. But in this silly, cosseted world that I exist in, not being able to make the mic not pick up my voice when I need to sneeze or cough or something, that's been a real a hardship for me. And now I can just turn it back on, and God, that's a good feeling.
It's weirdly upsetting. What does cosseted mean?
I think of cosseted as sort of carefully protected, like, oh, if you cosseted your children or a family heirloom, you'd be really taking care of them. But, like, I'm overly cosseted. I'm just kind of like, I'm just up in this room with nobody asking me to do anything actually meaningful in the world, and I'm just becoming very soft.
Kind of now, padded. Swathed. You know, the other day you used the word posterize in a sports sense. And I didn't know what it meant, and I asked you what it meant, and you explained it, and I was fascinated by the answer. I have seen that word 17 times in various sports articles since you explained it to me, and I realized I've been seeing that word for years, and my brain just skips over it. I don't know what I thought it meant, but I didn't know it literally meant that it's a moment where one player is literally or proverbially dunking on someone in a way that they could find themselves on a poster being dunked on.
That's so funny that you would see a word posterized and your brain wouldn't go, what's that word? Did you just think it was like for posterity or posterized?
I don't know. It also makes me wonder how many other words am I just skipping over, right?
You know what I do? If I get a word in my head, if I'm looking at a word, I will write it into an email or work it into a sentence without realizing I'm doing it.
When it's new to you?
Not even a word that's new. Just if I'm having a conversation with someone and let's say we're just in their living room and they have a poster that says something.
Oh.
I'm very suggestible.
Kaiser Soze.
Not realizing I'm doing it. Or the other thing I'll do is if I'm in a mood, I'll use the same word three or four times in an email without even realizing I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have to go through and take two or three of them out because I don't want the whole email to be me just using this one word.
Yes, that's a big part of on the occasions that I'm writing something at least once a week with the newsletter, and I'm kind of going over it. You know, I'll reread it a bunch, and a big part of that is looking for synonyms or other ways to say things, because for me it really stands out as being clunky when you've just kind of hit the same word. It doesn't even have to be a big word or an important word, but like snow is always the good example of that for people's weather forecasts, right? Like broadcast news, they don't want to use the word snow over and over and over again because it just stands out. It's like, that guy keeps saying the word snow in the back of your head.
That would really suck.
Snow, snow, and more snow.
Which is why you get stuff like the white stuff.
Yes. This is the part of this conversation where I then follow up with earthquake.
Tembler.
Same
yep.
thing. Tembler.
Yep.
Like, there are those events when you're trying to write news copy where you just have to get really creative so you don't just keep saying the same thing over and over again.
Shaking
Thank
quaking.
God we don't hold ourselves to that standard or we wouldn't have a show. Speaking of our show, we should take a quick break because when we come back, we're going to check in with our pal Mike Pesca and our new pal, his fiance, Michelle Hunter, who got engaged in a quite surprising way. We're also going to thank some donors of the day. And we are going to do the Blursday messages. So there's still a lot to do here on TBTL. Don't go anywhere.
Thank you, baby.
All right, let's thank some donors of the day.
Thank you, baby.
I would not have the resources, Andrew, to go to the world's most desolate guitar center and get my hands on some new audio equipment without the support of these people, because this is how the show gets sort of funded and how you and I are able to do this for our job. I'm talking about people like Meredith Gibbons of Hampshire. And then there's not a state listed, which in my experience usually means that person is checking in from somewhere abroad. Maybe this is more like England? Hampshire.
Is it Hampshire? Would that be England?
That sounds real England-y to me.
It sounds real England-y. I think let's say England or possibly Portugal.
Uh-huh, no, I'm sure. It's definitely one of the two.
Yeah.
Anthony Mayo of Seattle, Washington. Thank you, Anthony, so much for the donation and for keeping us in biz. Kenneth Walls of Stillwater, Minnesota. I've heard those are pretty shallow.
Yeah, well, no, I think
you see
they run
still
deep.
Water. You're like, yeah, it's probably about an inch.
No, I disagree with your police work there.
Oh, okay. Are you disrespecting my Stillwater investigation?
I am.
Okay. Well, take it up with Kenneth. Ken, thanks for the donation. Also, Ross Smith and Samantha Sager of Dedham, Massachusetts. How'd I do? I tried to leave the H off, but
that sounds right to me.
I'm guessing at most of these Massachusetts pronunciations, other than
Dedham,
Worcester.
I think is right.
Dedham, I hardly knew him.
Wow.
Is that a thing? Patricia Anderson of Kirkland, Washington, where they make the jeans.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. You would get that joke if you went to Costco more.
No, I got the joke.
Oh.
I mean, I got the word. I understood the words. I don't think I knew it was a joke.
You would annoy me if you mattered. Wait, what do they say?
I would divorce you if you existed.
Oh, ouch.
I know. It's just that. Have you seen that movie, by the way? Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
A long, long time ago, yeah. I saw it.
It's a great movie, and I only saw it.
Is this a good time in my life to watch it?
No. It might make you glad you're not married. And I'm not saying that as a reflection of your marriage. I'm just saying that is a
sure.
That movie does not make you feel great about the institution of marriage, I think, or certainly not that particular
their
relationship.
Marriage.
Yeah.
Was that? But that's Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, right?
I can't remember. And I think one of the students, you know, it's like, are there more than four characters in that movie? I know it's like the college professor, his wife, and then his either two students or a young student or like a college student and his wife. But I think one of those younger people is somebody famous too, right? Well, this is terrible.
Maybe.
Just look it up.
Well, yeah. But see, Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor were actually really in a relationship.
Oh.
And that's interesting because, like, what is the impact? Oh, let's also not sleep on Emily Atkinson's donation
nice.
From Brevard, North Carolina. Thank you, Emily, so much. And thank you to all of our donors of the day. I wonder what it... I mean, ultimately, I do not think Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton made it as a couple. I wonder if it's damaging to your relationship to do a movie where you're just eviscerating each other all day long as characters, but even so, I wonder if that soaks in somewhere into the sort of mitochondria of the relationship.
I mean, the word toxic is thrown around a lot, but like that is
overly
the
thrown around, but
definition of what is going on with the two main characters in that movie. And by the way, the college student, if I'm describing him in the correct way, the young man in that movie, mm-hmm. George Segal, whom I mostly know from like that 1990s sitcom where he ran a magazine.
Yeah, Look Mag was a magazine called Splash Magazine, or it was.
I can't remember.
Yeah, you know, Laura San Giacomo was in that. I loved her. I always had a kind of a crush on her. And then also the guy who plays Elliot, the photographer.
Yes,
I liked his work
as
well.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes. And you had, SNL's favorite Sarcasmo at the front desk.
Oh, yeah,
right?
David Spade
David
was
Spade.
In that.
Yeah, Just Shoot
Me. Was that
me.
Show called Stop or My Mom Will Shoot Me?
Just yes.
That's just it. Shoot Me?
Right. Throw Mama from the Just Shoot Me is what it's called.
Don't just shoot me. I'm David Spade. Anyway, I'm sure George Segal did a lot of things before Just Shoot Me, but that's probably how most people our age know about him.
Yes. I'm looking at his bio here. That's not even near the beginning of the list. I think he was famous much more in that era of that Virginia Woolf era.
Well, Andrew... This segues us right into the next thing that we want to do. Speaking of marriages, although in this case, marriages that are going to be amazing
mm-hmm.
and
ooh, yeah.
and the opposite.
Yeah, that's either a really good transition or a really terrible transition. Talking about
I think a terrible one.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf into speaking of our friends just got engaged.
They did. I have high hopes for this marriage because I'll tell you what, the proposal was really something. Our friend Mike proposed to his fiancée, Michelle, and he did so in a park in New York. There was a guy there dressed as a rat who was dancing around and crawling around on the ground with a box in his rat mouth.
Ugh, his
brought
tail,
the box
Luke.
Over.
His tail What's is that? So disturbing. The rat's tail is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
But they brought it. He brought the box over, and then it had the engagement ring in it. And then Mike proposed to his fiance, and it was really quite something. And you texted it to me. You were like, "Can you explain this to me?" And I said, "No, but maybe Mike and Michelle can." So here they are on the line, Mike and Michelle. Thanks for coming on TVTL.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's not every day that I get to find out that one of my friends got engaged via the 1010 Wins Twitter feed. Let's start at the very beginning. What is the story with the performance art rat?
Honey, you want to go?
Sure. So on our first date, my first date, we were in the East Village. We went to the Pyramid Club. And then we went to a bar afterwards, and that bar is like right on the corner of Tompkins Square Park. So after we left the bar, we were kind of just strolling through the park and kind of having a romantic evening, and we had our first kiss in the park together. And when that happened, there was like a giant rat that ran past us during that moment.
Like an actual rat.
Yeah, like an actual giant New York City rat, like one of the really disgusting ones. And that's always been a joke between us, like that, you know, that rat made an appearance at our first kiss. So whenever we walk past the park or whenever we talk about our first date, we always discuss it relative to a rat being there.
Wait a second, though.
There are other rats before the kiss. That did not dissuade me from going in. That did not break the mood. But once the actual kiss was planted upon her, this giant, like, extra from the Nutcracker shows up. Starts traipsing about. It's like, okay, this will forever be emblazoned in our shared history.
I'm a little concerned. I'm afraid that this is how kinks develop, guys.
Fortunately, it hasn't developed to that level, but you know, of course,
I think
know
something like
is.
That could
it's become a
something
joke.
Like, yeah, it could scare the furry out of you.
It's like if you're going to send your kid to furry diversion camp.
That's right. Exactly.
Like the Pray the Gay Away camps, you just send them there with the wait. Okay, so is the. Was the person dressed up like a rat who was kind of crawling around in the park, is that a thing? Or, Mike, did you set that up? Like, did you get somebody to pretend to be this rat to do this?
So, I don't know. Have you been seeing this guy, the guy we use, this guy named Jonathan Lyon, other animal name, he has made quite a splash on social media because he's been playing this rat character who's called Buddy the Rat. And I think the first, or at least the first clip that went viral was of him reenacting the pizza scenario. So he had a huge, giant, you know, I don't know, macrame or prop pizza. He dragged it up the stairs as himself, as Buddy the Rat, and it got like, you know, 500,000 views on Twitter. Ice-T commented on it. So this guy's out there doing the rat thing, generally causing... Three camps. When people see him, they're either delighted, oh, it's very New York. They're appalled, you remind me of an actual rat. Or, and this is the most New York thing, they're totally indifferent. They're unfazed. They don't even pay attention to him. So people love watching Buddy the Rat videos. And as I was thinking of what to do for the engagement, I realized there were a couple other plans that went by the wayside. She knew that the ring was in the house. We went shopping for the ring. I had to figure out a connection. I knew Buddy was out there. I got in touch with Jonathan. I'm like, I have this crazy idea. And he said, I'm up for it. And I said, let's do it in a day and a half. And he said, yes. And so that's how the planning went.
How does that work on a relationship level? So you guys had already, you know, talked about the fact that you're planning on getting engaged and eventually married, I assume. And so this is a couple's decision. It's not a huge surprise, yet you still wanted to integrate this level of kind of theatrics and surprise into it.
Honey?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you said that I knew about the engagement, but we've actually been already started planning the wedding.
Okay.
Mike, you know Mike again. He's pretty slow to kind of do anything. So he needed some pushing and urging along. So we actually have our wedding that's been in the process of being planned for January 2nd. So the engagement was, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but as many of our friends said to us, wait a minute, I thought you guys already were engaged because we own a house together, I take care of Mike's kids, like it was kind of like, I don't know, the period at the end of a sentence, if you will, that everybody knew was coming.
Yeah, I'm more an ellipse guy, so you don't know if it's going to be a period or if it's just going to develop to something else. But
a semicolon, mean you're opening the relationship up?
Yeah, you know when you get that telltale punctuation. And then a colon could mean you're opening up in ways you didn't even consider. But I told all my friends who were saying, aren't you engaged yet? I was like, if we were engaged, wouldn't there be a giant man-sized rat involved? Hello?
Mike, did you feel like you, because this was already a known thing that you were getting married, it was already like, did you feel like you needed to really do something kind of jazzy for the proposal to make it actually important? Because otherwise you could have just handed the ring over and said, like, I agree to these terms or whatever.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. I guess the traditional thing is the guy goes and buys an engagement ring and then hopes the girl, and you know, the engager, doesn't have to be guy and girl, the engager buys the ring, hopes the engagee likes it. But of course, wouldn't you guarantee that the engagee would like it if there were feedback, and in fact, if the engagee and the engager joined in the process? So we went and got the ring together, and it was a known quality quantity, and it was in the house. So really the only element of surprise would be how I would pop the question. So I wanted to do it interestingly, and there was a thwarted plan beforehand, which included we were going to go out to New Jersey, and I was going to somehow stumble upon the old gymnastic studio that she spent all of her life in and have someone tumble over and give the ring. Michelle later told me that her associations with gymnastics were, how would you describe them, Michelle?
I don't know. I would say like, what's the right word? Like scarring, I think.
Traumatic.
Yeah.
Well, so will this marriage, Michelle. It might be perfect.
Hey, Michelle. When you guys were sitting in the park, are you in Prospect Park or Central Park?
Well, we were in Tompkins Square Park.
Oh, okay, okay. So when you're sitting there in Tompkins Square Park, Michelle, did you just think, oh, what a coincidence, that famous performance art rat person is here, or did your spidey sense start tingling?
A little of both. I mean, we have been, like, we're a fan of this guy. We love watching his videos, so we always watch them together and laugh about them. So at first, my first thought was like, oh, my God, look, honey, the rat's here. Like, but then, of course, you know, I started to kind of put two and two together. And then as he was getting closer to us, I saw the ring box, which, of course, I recognized since we bought the ring together.
Wait, you didn't get a different box, Mike?
All right, until you said that, I never even thought to do that.
Can I ask you guys, is Mike's audio clear? He sounds very muffled on my end.
He's a little muffled.
Mike, could you hold the phone closer to you?
It's
hold
perfect,
the phone
yeah.
a little closer to your mouth.
Oh,
whatever Michelle is doing is working much better.
I can't, like, I'm sorry. I just can't consider you to be a podcast expert, no matter what you tell me, if you can't get your audio straight.
No, the podcast expert has to get my audio and make it usable. At this point, I'm just
Well,
a
you still sound muffled.
Get it
together.
I'm talking right into the phone.
Let's go back to this ring. Let's go back to this ring, because this is the one question I had on my mind, because I'm watching this video. I didn't even know what I was watching the first time I watched it. And then, of course, this giant rat man pulls out your ring, which immediately made me wonder, what was it like the moment you handed this rat man a very, very valuable piece of property and just trusted that you would get it back?
That code dictates that any piece of property given. No, I was thinking that too. So what I did was I got my friend and neighbor Jay the day before. I said, "Will you be a co-conspirator on this?" And he said yes. So I gave him the ring. He drives in beforehand. He meets up with Jonathan, who has this plan, this ingenious plan. He's going to take a glue gun, glue a magnet inside the rat costume, inside the rat mouth, and then glue a magnet to the other side, or maybe the ring box was magnetized. Anyway, Jay hands off just the ring box. Jay's holding the ring. Ratman does this whole glue gun magnet thing, and it works. It works beautifully, and you can't quite see it on the video, but I have some still photos where I've circled how the ring box was affixed to the mouth. It was genius, and I believe at no point was the rat entrusted to have sole ownership of the ring.
Right. What was your friend?
But there was a handoff. There
wait,
was a
so
moment
who was
where
videotaping?
Jay had to give it to him.
Yeah, there was
the
a handoff.
The rat brought his own DP. The rat came with the DP.
Are you serious? So that there was somebody filming it for the rat's purposes as well.
Correct. That's right.
Yeah. I think I got a good rate on the rat, because, you know, he knew that he could use this too.
Right. This is good for the brand.
There's somebody who's making, the person who is filming is making a documentary about Jonathan. So he kind of just has this cameraman following him around all the time. And that just was super lucky for us, because they so sweetly made it into like a beautifully produced video with some text, which you probably saw. It was very nice.
And then how does it hand? Do you even know how it ends up in the hands? If you haven't lived in New York, you don't understand what a big thing 1010 Winds is. but how did this end up on the radar of 1010 Winds?
Well, just, I mean, they've got a nose for news. It's obviously incredibly newsworthy.
Well, there hasn't been a lot of news lately, so it was good to give them something to, you know, report.
Slow news week. At that moment, I mean, so, like Michelle said, he does hire his own DP, but since Ratman is in and of himself an interesting character and also pretty famous, once he showed up, everyone in this area whips out their cell phones and starts taking pictures and video of it. And there's also there was a lot of people there because there was a Beatles cover band playing right in the area. So there are so many.
So that was the fallback plan. If the rat thing didn't work out, you're going to have somebody who looks vaguely like Ringo bring over something.
Oh, here's Jingo with your ring.
Love me do. Wait, that's your best Liverpool accent?
Liverpudlian, yes.
I was, you know, Mike, I thought it was Liverpudlian, but I was too scared to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like one of those words that, like, people really from Liverpool will be like, yeah, we don't say Liverpudlian, just like cavers don't call it spelunkers, but no, they're really Liverpudlian. Anyway, and by the way, after so all these people are filming, the guy comes over, three or four different people say, hey, I have some shots of it, they email us. This is more documented than the Lee Harvey Oswald prison transfer, okay? we have scores, we have reams of data on this engagement. And then 3 minutes after we get engaged, boom, there's another engagement like 20 feet away. And we talked, no rat involved though. And we thought maybe they felt bad, but they were happy. But we talked to the guy who said he's lived next to Tompkins Square Park for 11 years. He's never seen anyone get proposed to. And then 3 minutes before his engagement, someone else does it. And there's a rat involved. Poor guy.
Dude, thank God that the timing worked out the way it did, because that would have really, really sort of taken the air out of the balloon if there was an engagement right, Michelle? I mean, would that have been a bummer?
Yes. I mean, I felt bad for them because I think as soon as the rat kind of came into the plaza that we were sitting in, everybody's attention was on the rat. And once, so everybody was watching us, basically. It felt like very New York, but people were going crazy. They were cheering. They were so happy, applauding. And then I feel bad for that other couple. Like Mike said, I don't think they cared. I don't think they even realized they were having their own special moment. But, yeah, it was nice that we were first.
Yeah, if I'm that presumably guy who was doing the other proposal, I'm basically calling an audible at the line on that one. Omaha. I'm checking down, and these are just football terms to try to make Mike and Andrew and Michelle, maybe you're a football fan too, laugh. But
yeah,
I'm just trying. I'm just moving. I'm moving this whole play to the next weekend.
No, totally. No, they went for it, and they were happy. And so were we. It was really nice. But I one detail that we forgot to mention when you asked about if Mike was comfortable giving the ring to the rat. After all of it was said and done, I looked at Mike and I was like, you know, we haven't insured the ring yet, right? Like, he had no idea. He was clueless on that.
Oh, like it hadn't God. Been.
Now, is that part of the homeowner's policy, or is that a separate service, ring
it
insurance?
Is. No,
it's part of the homeowner, right? But a lot of them do have carve outs for acts of God or handing it
force
over to
majeure.
Rat.
Rat majeure.
That's right.
Well, it was a beautiful moment.
We got there.
Yes. Possible show title, Andrew?
Yes.
Force Mausure?
Indeed.
All right.
Mausure,
well,
yes.
Listen, it was for all the kind of like wackiness around it, the moment, Michelle, of your just genuine delight that's picked up with the subtitles and everything, and Mike, your happiness too. It was really beautiful and really life-affirming. So congratulations, Mazel Tov, and
Thank you.
A little hurt I'm not invited to the wedding, Mike, but also, you know, there is a pandemic, so I'm going to chuck you for that.
It is. Otherwise, we would love to have you there in addition to
what if
you know,
I agree
the rest
to dress up like a rat? Is the rat coming to the wedding?
Criteria. The rat is not coming to the wedding, as far as I know. But who knows what will happen.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for talking to us today, you guys, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Congrats, guys.
All right. Bye.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can't just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
It is in the grand tradition of Blur's days on this show that I introduced them by once again asking, should we be doing a Blur's Days segment? Here's why. I was tempted a moment ago to invite Mike and Michelle to stick around for Blur's Days, and then I suddenly heard this segment through their ears, and I realized, no, I should not invite a professional podcaster to listen to this Blur's Days segment, which maybe is not the best sign.
The litmus test is if you're embarrassed of a segment.
Yes.
That's a sign that maybe you might be doing a bad segment. That's if Ross Perot had a comedy bit called You Might Be Doing a Bad Segment.
You could save yourself by doing Bane saying I was born in the Blur's Days, but let's just skip that. Actually, though, I don't want to denigrate the Blur's Days segment, even though I just did, because we do have a bunch of beautiful Blur's Days today. A lot. This may be a record-breaking Blur's Day day. So
wow.
Let's skittle scat it. Let's get at it with Chris in
started,
Ohio.
They're always looking for ways to monetize this show. What if we? What if this the is... Blur's Days were just by the word and you paid like a dollar a word?
Oh, I thought you were going to say this should be our breakout segment. This should be our brand extension to kind of invite more
what
people
if it,
into the show.
Remember Valentine's Grams when you were a kid?
No.
I never really understood it, but you would pay money. You would, or there was these fundraisers that would happen when I was in school where you would pay someone to take a note to someone. Like it seemed like it happened on Valentine's Day a lot, but it was a way of raising money for the, you know, Spirit Squad or whatever.
Mm. Sounds like we kind of do that with the Dazzling Donors, so maybe we should just keep these.
Well, are we charging them enough?
Happy Blur's Day, says Chris in Ohio. By the way, I think I looked up. Chris didn't say where in Ohio they were writing from. Excuse me one second.
Oh, look who's using their mute. King in the castle. King in the castle.
Man, I
so
really
do a mute.
Did have to.
Wow.
Okay. This is falling apart so quickly. I'm out of
you're
water.
Like,
I'm out
so
of water.
Sad. You're so sad that I got a mute button, but I'm just completely
okay.
Stoked about it.
I also have a mute button on your channel, so I can totally mute you, just for the record. But this okay. is going to be a problem because I have more Blur's Days than I've ever seen in my life, and I am out of water, and my mouth
would
is dry.
Would you like, Andrew, would you like to try an experiment this week?
You want to go back
you
and
just
forth?
Send
you
me the Blur's Days.
ATC style? You do one, I do one?
Sure. Yes, that'd be great. Can you cut and paste, copy and paste what you're working with, and we'll alternate, and that'll give you, you know, cough breaks.
Yeah, and this will spice things up a little bit because it is a pretty long Blur's Day segment. It's on its way to you right now through the internet.
Spiced turkey meatball pitas.
Me reset here for a second.
Okay.
There's right. a person named Chris in Ohio who did not say where in Ohio they're writing in from. But they did include their postal code, their postal zip code, I should say.
Yep.
And so I want to say this call is coming from Calcutta, Ohio, which, if I'm right, is near Pittsburgh. This is a part of Ohio I'm not very familiar with, but I was excited to see it on the map. All of that is to say, Chris in Ohio, maybe Calcutta, Ohio, says, "Happy birthday, Angela. I hope your day is a 10. And what I did there is I took the most succinct, simple, beautifully told Blur's Day that should have taken 5 seconds, and I turned it into a 10-minute ramble. And that's why we're never getting through this segment.
Not to mention, I got a lot of questions about Calcutta, Ohio.
Yeah.
Or Kolkata, if you were in India, as I've heard it increasingly pronounced over here. I'm sure it's always been Kolkata in India, but we're just getting hip to that. And then a Pittsburgh, Ohio. That's confusing. Ohio.
No, not Pittsburgh, just... Ohio. It's near Pittsburgh.
Oh, near Pittsburgh, yeah. Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
Yeah. I see.
Yeah.
I thought that they had a Pittsburgh, Ohio just on the other side of the border from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which just seems like a recipe to have the pizza go to the wrong house.
I could see some Browns fans doing that, though, just to screw with Pittsburgh. All right, do you have the Blur's Days there?
Yeah.
All right.
Jess says, "My boyfriend looked really sad when I told him I forgot to send you his Blur's Day, even though he's been hinting I should do it for weeks. So please wish my 10, Tim, in Kamloops, BC, a happy birthday." Kamloops. That is a town that lived large in my mind as a kid because they have a Western Hockey League team.
Hmm. Western Kamloops Hockey.
Western Canadian Hockey. Tim, happy birthday. By the way, Jess says it was last Wednesday, even though it's overshadowed by American Thanksgiving in Canada. We celebrated that weeks ago. Hmm. Happy Blur's Day, Tim.
Brooks says, "Happy Blur's Day to Alexis. My partner is a big fan of TBTL. She started listening this year right around the beginning of COVID, and I know it has really helped her through this difficult year. As far as I know, she hasn't missed a single episode since she started listening. Happy Blur's Day, Alexis."
I wonder what the impact of the popularity... Well, I was going to say of the show Schitt's Creek, but really more just... I guess, yeah, because her name is Alexis on that. And then the computer... Yeah. Hockey Puck is called Alexa.
Yes.
Which I probably just turned a bunch on. I apologize. Yeah. But I wish Alexis a happy birthday. Erica in Arlington, who is... Oh, Erica is Maggie Middleshelf's daughter.
Indeed,
I'm going
she
to
is, yeah.
figure. "Hi, I'd like to wish a happy birthday to my newish 10 friend, Ryan. He's a guy who tells it how it is. And you'd know him famously as the long-haul trucker with the shit box story." Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had to shit in a box.
He literally did. On the road, in the snow.
"We met as friends in the wild, and after a few weeks of random friendship, he asked me, 'Are you a 10? Ever since then, we've been sending each other drops for all occasions." Man, that is rare.
Yes, it
is. With the boutique nature of this show, it is very rare that two people would meet, and at some point, one of them would say, "Do you listen to TBTL?" And then the other person would be saying, "Yes."
I wonder if it's like if one of them said something that we say often on the show, and it kind of rang a bell.
Like, I learned when I was a kid that the Christians would, when they were being persecuted, this is according to the Bible, so... You know, add that caveat to things. But apparently they would draw, one would draw half of a fish in the sand. And if you were a fellow Christian, you would draw the other half of the fish. That's that fish that I think it's called the ichthus. The idea was that was a secret way for Christians to indicate to each other that who they were without getting in trouble or giving it away in case the person was not down. And that's sort of like being a 10.
And then a third person comes along and puts two little feet on it and writes Darwin underneath it.
Got him. Got him.
Happy belated Blur's Day to Elizabeth, our beautiful and super smart daughter who loves wake surfing, horseback riding, her brother, baking, and drawing. We love you from Mom, Dad, and James.
Cute. David says happy Blur's Day to both Jeremy and Boots. Jeremy is a kind of a big wheel down at the Cracker Factory, although TBTL makes you my son. But our 20 years of friendship make you my brother. Wow, I just used this drop, but I have to...
That's pretty sweet.
That's really sweet. Boots, you've been there for the beginning of my TBTL journey, starting with drinks with Jen Flash Andrews on the day Rue McClanahan died. Miss you, and happy Blurs Day. You are a pal and a confidant. That's really sweet.
Justin in Greenwood says, happy 40th Blurs Day to Kim in Green Lake. Oh, this is one of those classic Greenwood-Green Lake relationships, although I don't know the nature of this relationship, whether it's familial, friendly, or romantic.
Just purely sexual.
Oh, come on. They could literally be related, Luke.
Sorry, I had my mic muted.
Justin says, happy 40th Blurs Day to Kim in Green Lake. She sadly had to postpone her trip to Hawaii for her milestone blurs, but a TBTL shout-out is a nice consolation prize. Or it could have been, if we hadn't made it weird.
Justin and Kim, will you please email us and clarify the nature of your relationship to know just how off-base and off-color that comment was that I just made? Katie in Seattle says, I would like to wish a very happy Blurs Day to our newly minted 10
nice.
And my BFF of 16 years, Nicole. Her birthday was on Thanksgiving, so we totally missed out on celebrating this year. Major sad horns. I don't have the prices right with me, but I've got that, which we'll play for not getting to celebrate Nicole's birthday. Sending all the love to you, Nicole, my cobro in life. And here is to many future Blurs Days together. Happy birthday, Nicole.
Leanna says, please wish Nick the happiest 30th Blurs Day this week. You know him. He's the perfect 10.
Wait,
but I am
a minute.
Honored.
Nick is only turning 30?
I know. What was he, 12 when he started listening to the show?
What?
He was too young to get that TBTL tattoo.
He's a youthful fellow, but he has the wisdom.
I know.
This whole time that I've known him, he hasn't even been 30 years old
yet. I know.
What?
I mean, he wasn't old enough to drink when he was listening to the show.
Was he legally old enough to get the various tattoos?
That's what I'm
when
saying.
When I talk about it like I'm Bill Cosby. No?
Just,
that's my one good impression.
No, I like how you ruin everybody's Blurs Day by putting something in there.
You're the one that complained that there was too many Blurs Day messages to read. I'm trying to be helpful.
We're never doing this again.
You do it your way. I do it my way. You read your names. And I read my names in a way that possibly promotes incest and or the career of Bill Cosby, Lord. Andrew.
You're
we
no
both
Wertheimer.
Bring our strengths to this.
You are no Wertheimer to my Noah Adams. Starting this over. I'll cut your mic. Leanna says, please wish Nick the happiest Blurs Day, the happiest 30th Blurs Day this week. You know him as the perfect 10, but I'm honored to call him the perfect husband. Aww. Since our wedding just last month, he hasn't stopped calling me his wife, but I love him just the same. We've been stuck at home together for most
That's
of 2020, and I wouldn't change a moment of our pandemic time together. And
That's
also,
cute.
It's really cute.
I hung out with them at the monster truck thing.
Yes.
When I drove very slowly, drove Gravedigger in a circle. They were so nice. And so supportive and made me feel not bad about how low-key my performance was and the fact that I yelled Baba Booey. And it's great to hear that they got hitched. Congratulations.
That's right. And I know that Nick, I don't think he minds saying this because he's called into the voicemail line a bunch kind of telling us about this. But it's, you know, it's been a tough year for a lot of people in a lot of ways. And, of course, Nick, for as long as I've known him, has worked for the Disneyland resorts, right? Or, I guess, Disney mm-hmm. World in Florida,
yeah.
right? Yeah. And I know that there were a bunch of layoffs there, and he was affected by that, too. And it's just like a really scary time to be, you know, getting married and starting a family during a pandemic. And this kind of economic crisis. So he's been on my mind a lot lately, earnestly, and I hope that they're both doing great, and it's really good to hear from them and that they're having a good time together while they are stuck at home. And also Jake in Chicago, who calls himself the perfect daddy because mm-hmm. he introduced Nick, the perfect 10, to TBTL, he also wants to wish Nick a happy Blurs Day. He says, welcome to middle age, buddy. Did you know 30
really?
Was middle age?
I hope that Nick didn't buy that hot dog costume on payments.
Oh, right.
Like, I hope there's not like an exploding arm interest rate on that thing because, you know,
he's gonna have to
that's
go,
how they get you.
He's going to have to go into debtor's prison wearing the hot dog outfit. And he'll just be saying, I don't want,
who drove this hot dog car into the prison? Show yourself.
Oh, my God. Like, my day is, for anybody who likes that show, I think you should leave. And if you're on Twitter too much, like I am, I highly recommend you just start following the I Think You Should Leave Turbo account. Because no matter what's going on, you'll just see a screen cap from that show subtitled with something that you know, one of those Tim Robinson characters typically is saying. And you're just, it just brightens my whole day.
I've been, for various reasons, maybe showing them to people or to remind myself of some of the jokes in it. I, in the past month, have probably 3 or 4 times rewatched the very final skit of episode 1 of I Think You Should Leave. It might be my favorite. It's about paint jobs. And if anybody's interested, it is so good from beginning to the power out at the end, if you're interested.
This is when he goes in to purchase a weapon?
Purchase a weapon, yes. And then he starts imagining the scenarios in which he would use it. Let's leave it there.
All right. We also have a little check-in from Tara in Boise. Is she mentioning on the benching?
I think so.
All right. I would like to wish a happy 11th birthday to my 15, Mirabelle. I explained to Mirabelle that as my child, she would be considered a 5, and she responded that she's actually a 15 because she is, quote, a fan in her own right as well. That is airtight logic.
That's awesome.
I totally side with Mirabelle on this. My highlight of this crazy year, Tara writes, has been spending so much time with my remarkable daughter and realizing how much I like her as a person, not just as a family member, to which I say,
aww. That's awesome.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
My gosh, you wanted to torch this segment. I think it's renewing my faith in humanity.
Yeah.
You just want me to make fewer Bill Cosby references?
That would,
a child is being wished happy birthday?
Nice. Yeah, if we could cut back on them a little bit, I think it would really sing. I could.
I'm channeling. Steve Carell from the opening audio of today's episode. Literally, that put something in my brain that made me said, Luke, that's the guy you're going to be today on the program.
Oh, my God. Anne in Oklahoma. Was there a character named Annie in Oklahoma? I've never seen Oklahoma.
There was Annie Get Your Gun.
Oh, I think that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Anne in Oklahoma says, I'd like to give a shout out to my 10 pal, Natalie, in Minneapolis, whose birthday is on a Blursday this year. How about that? She writes, her letters always bring me joy, and she never complains about my terrible handwriting. Happy birthday, Natalie, from Anne in Oklahoma, but not the musical.
Annie Get Your Gun was a Irving Berlin musical about Annie Oakley.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that checks out. Kay says, I'd like to wish a very happy Blursday to my TBTL daddy, Tracy. This year has been unreasonable to us all, and I don't know what I'd have done without her friendship, her patience, or the videos of her two handsome cats, Admiral and Smokey.
Oh,
thank you for being
Admiral.
Part of my life. That's a solid cat name.
It is. That's beautiful. Marshall in San Francisco says, I'd like to wish a very happy Blursday to Priscilla in San Francisco.
Oh, we know Priscilla. Yes. She did the hats. Well,
indeed.
The design that's on the hat.
And Marshall says, I was so glad to see her awesome No Mountain Too Tall design featured in the TBTL-a-thon gifts this year. She's also been doing some amazing volunteer work with a company called Get Us PPE. Helps healthcare workers get access to critical supplies during the pandemic. So thanks for doing that, Priscilla. Thanks for doing everything that you've done for TBTL.
Yeah.
And happy damn Blursday from Marshall and us.
Wow. Look who's using swears now.
Yeah.
Speaking of the TBTL-a-thon, happy Blursday to my cousin-in-law and TBTL daddy, Jeremy. That's, by my count, 3 TBTL daddy references.
Yeah, well, it's a long Blursday.
He's the fellow that created the thank you gift mugs for the donors of the show. Oh, man. I've got those down here, Andrew.
Isn't this amazing, though? I mean, in one Blursday segment, we have 2 of the people that helped create the actual thank you gifts for our very last TBTL-a-thon.
And you want to cancel this segment. You're embarrassed of this segment in front of Mike Pesca and Michelle.
What do you think that would be going on if they were on the line right now?
We'd be done with the segment.
Yeah.
By the way,
be taking notes so he could add it to the gist. He'd be trying to poach me and my talents.
When you know, did a very small Thanksgiving with Addie and Carrie, and Addie was absolutely impressed by those mugs, those coffee mugs.
Yeah, they're
nice. Such cool actual objects. They say coffee lover on the bottom, but they're not, you know. Now, don't hold this against me if we go back to, like, cheesy, normal coffee cups or mugs at some point in the future. But, you know, usually if you get a coffee mug from a radio promotion or something, it's not going to have the artistry behind it that those ones do. And I was like, that was, like, one of the first things that I packed up very carefully and lovingly and brought down to Portland with me. Was like, I got to have these TBTL coffee lover mugs. So... thank you very much.
I was a little disappointed. I mean, and this, why would I ever take it to Negative Town in the middle of Blur's Days while we're thanking Jeremy for his fine work? But did you not find it weird that he wouldn't make the breast mugs that I wanted, the boob mugs? You know,
well,
like,
I find it weird that I made you one of those and you said no thank you.
Well, but Jeremy's
just
an
because
artist.
I put Bill Cosby's head on it.
Did we read all of Jeremy's Blur's Days?
No,
yet?
I didn't. I'm about
so.
To finish.
Sorry.
He's a swell guy and a super dad and a husband. He is my number one favorite in-law, and we'd be a different clan without him. All my love, Cousin Jesse in Little Rhody, Rhode Island.
Listener Jay, whom, as I often remind you, Luke, we met on the I was going to say ferry boat. Were we on a ferry boat for our live show? That wasn't a ferry boat.
Not quite. It was a
it was a cruise.
It's not a ferry in that it doesn't take people from one place to you know, another and then drop them off. It does not ferry them from point
right.
to point.
It was just a nice cruise. TBTL.
It was a nice Argosy cruise liner that they were nice enough to let us use at a rock bottom discount rate.
That's right. And we met Jay. She joined us on stage for a quiz during that. And she says, like most people, I've been dreading my birthday this year between losing my dream job for probably a few years some rough personal times. It's been real lame. But I've learned that I'm a hustler. I have incredible support. I'm strong AF, which I think means as forever. I'm strong as forever.
And also with you.
I am beautiful inside and out, and I am so loved.
Can confirm.
And maybe that's too much self-hype, but if I've ever needed it, I need it now. Happy Blur's Day, Jay.
Jay, you don't have to just hype yourself. We're here to hype you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All of those things that you said completely check out based on our getting to meet you.
And I think you won the quiz.
Yeah.
Actually,
Ken says, I would like to wish a happy Blur's Day to my fellow Michitan Cinder. I love seeing her Facebook posts about her dog, Edward, her job as a lawyer, and her takedown of businesses in the Traverse City area who are not taking COVID seriously. That's a feed I would subscribe to. I could put that on my following TikTok page.
I just put it together. That's Ken, who we were talking about on yesterday's show, coincidentally.
Ken Nay?
Ken Nay, yes. In Michigan,
which is
right?
Kenneth Nay. It's not Ken Nay.
Right.
Although if you say it differently, it kind of is.
Karen says, I'd like to wish my husband Josh a happy 35th Blur's Day. He has a lot to look forward to in his next year, including the birth or blurs of our first five in February. Congratulations, guys. So happy Blur's Day to Josh from Karen, and congratulations to you both from me and Luke.
Daniel wants to wish a happy Blur's Day to Sarah Tetron from the warm-up band for the B-52s. I am so happy to be stuck at home with her to watch all the Star Trek series, cuddling with our cuckoo birds and wearing out our TC Tuggers.
TC Tuggers.
They're not a joke, Andrew.
So this Sarah Tetron from the warm-up band for the B-52s, I did some Googling. I can't figure out what that means. Daniel, if you'd like to write in and let me know what that means, the warm-up band for the B-52s, is that real?
I don't know, but I just love the TC Tuggers reference. That's another I think you should leave.
Yep.
Please, like I said, if you have not had a chance, do check out that show. And do wish Sarah Tetron a happy Blur's Day from Daniel. Happy Blur's Day to everybody.
Wow. That was a long Blur's Day segment.
I think it was fun to divide it up. Maybe we should, on the longer days, we should just do that. It's just kind of nice, you know, many hands making light work.
Mm-hmm. I see how this is working already. You're trying to get my...
Well, you're trying to little finger me behind my back with our colleagues.
Wow. We cannot get out of the show quickly enough. I also just looked up and I realized I'm 20 minutes late for a meeting, so we got to get out of here.
Oh.
And I'm getting texts from that person. Okay. Should we go out with today?
How about a B-52 song?
Oh, of course.
Or something from Sarah Teatron warming up the B-52.
Do you like the B-52s? Do you know anything by them? Or should I just try to pick something at random? You know,
you're the
I mean?
One that's been, you've been immersing yourself in them, steeping
for
in
years.
Their tunes for so long. I'm going to definitely leave this one to you.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. Okay, well, this is always my favorite. I've probably played on the show way too many times already, but Give Me Back My Man is one of my favorite B-52 songs. So let's do
all right,
it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And again, sorry about the late posting. That's on me. But tomorrow we'll be back here with more Imaginary... Friday? What the heck, fire? We'll be here with the Friday edition of the show, so do tune in for that. Until then, enjoy your Thursday. Stay safe, take care of yourselves, and please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Out.